I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. The Oregon Bach Festival continues through an era of transition as Janelle McCoy begins her tenure as executive director following the artistic director transition from Helmut Rilling to Matthew Halls. Janelle McCoy has an accomplished career as an arts administrator, most recently serving as executive director of the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia, and is also a mezzo-soprano. She arrived in Eugene just a few weeks ago, and she joins me in the KLCC studios. Welcome to town, Janelle.
Well, thank you for having me, Eric.
Well, what was it about this position with the Oregon Bach Festival that inspired you to uproot your whole family and come 3,000 miles to take it on?
Well, you know, as a singer myself, the Oregon Bach Festival is something that I've known about for my entire career. And, you know, it's when you hear of a position like this open up and you don't think about, well, what would it take to move 3,000 miles? Just the mere mention of the fact that it's open is exciting. And lo and behold, after a long process, I believe that I was the one that was chosen. So I feel like I'm the lucky one.
What do you see as your key priorities as an incoming executive director?
Well, the position was not filled for quite some time. We had some interim leadership internally that was trying to guide us through the transition. So there's a lot of people to meet, you know, from every single board member, clearly, to our donors, to patrons. Yesterday, we were at the Chamber Music at Bell concert with the American Brass Quintet. And, you know, it's seeing, you know, 400, 500 people. Those are my patrons for the Bach Festival, too. And we co-present that series. So making sure it's almost like running for office in a way. You know, you're shaking hands, kissing babies. But I think, too, that it's a real priority for Eugene to know that this festival was started here and we're certainly staying here. I know that programming has ventured out to other cities as well. And you'll be seeing less of that because I really think that there is no way that this festival would have ever grown to the point that it's at now, which is really quite large, without the community's support and the community's interest. So our focus is here, right here in Eugene.
It has been a challenging time. Some of those expansions didn't work out financially on a certain level, and there's been a bit of contraction in the festival. Lots of transition as well. How will you approach working with Matthew Halls to continue moving that transition forward?
Well, Matthew and I have been Skyping weekly. We've spent hours talking to each other at this point. He's probably quite sick of me. But, you know, I think that it's important for me to understand, since I am the year-round face of the organization, along with my staff, you know, it's important to understand what Matthew's vision is and how we can best articulate that. And, you know, it was quite a transition to go from Helmut Rilling, who, of course, was a founding artistic director, to Matthew, who is... you know, Matthew, hopefully he won't mind me saying, but he just turned 40, which in fact, at the beginning of the festival, Helmut was about this age too. So it's like we're turning back the clock a little bit. You know, here we have another, you know, tremendously talented artistic director, but he's at the beginning of his career, and whereas Helmut had to retire and do a lot less with us for a variety of reasons. But Matthew, you know, already at this tender age, is conducting all over the country, all over the world with major orchestras. He's actually a little bit ahead of where Helmut was at this age. Not that it's a competition, because it's not. The two gentlemen have amazing artistic priorities and vision. And Matthew's vision is, you know, also rooted in scholarship and legacy, just as Helmut's was. They have two different ways of accomplishing that vision. And so with Matthew's energy and his vision, we'll be tackling the challenges that plague a lot of arts organizations, in fact. I mean, I think everyone is trying to learn how to engage new audiences, wider, broader audiences, more diverse audiences. We're seeing a great generation of audience goers start to age out, which is you know, troubling, not just to the Bach Festival, but to all arts organizations. And so, you know, I think it's also a priority to make sure that, you know, the younger generations know that classical music is relevant, that it is engaging. It's not an elitist art form at all. We're pretty grassroots. And it's the Bach Festival is for everyone. It really is.
One of the things about the programming of the Bach Festival in recent years that's shifted is also that there is oftentimes less Bach than there used to be and more other music. How do you feel about that direction?
Well, I don't think the festival was ever intended to solely focus on Bach. Really, it was really about Bach's legacy. And Bach served to inspire many composers, in fact. When you look throughout history, for example, I mean, in fact, the reason why we know about Bach today is because Mendelssohn did a large part in reviving interest in Bach's music. And Mendelssohn, for example, was very inspired by Bach. And in fact, even went back to reconstruct a St. Matthew Passion and make his own additions and changes to reflect the modernization of the orchestra as they knew it at that time. So you see that a lot of composers draw their inspiration, their compositional wisdom from that foundation that Bach built for us. So yes, there may be less Bach. I think that if you scratch beneath the surface, there's still quite a lot of Bach going on. But we are trying to embrace those composers that answer to that legacy as well.
And how does that play out in the 2016 season's programming?
Sure. So we are doing the Bach B minor Mass. That's what opens the festival. So, and I know that we've done Bach, the B minor, quite a number of times over the years with Helmut. But in fact, this performance of the Bach B minor will be very, very unique. It will be with the Historically Informed Performance Orchestra, the Berwick Academy, which is an initiative that we started last year. So this will be a unique opportunity to hear the B minor, you know, as Bach would have heard it in his time, you know, with period instruments, with gut string. It has a different resonance. It's tuned a little differently at Baroque pitch than what you would hear with a contemporary orchestra. The instrumentation is more balanced, I would say, than sometimes when you hear more modern renditions of the Bach B minor. So this is just an exciting time to hear that Mass in a completely new way. Also on the program, there's the Brahms Requiem. There is a commission that we're doing by James McMillan, his Requiem, in fact. And we're inviting the Punch Brothers, who I think are really, you know, quintessential artists. They pull from all genres of learning and bend that in such ways that you really start to understand that classical music is the root of many different types of music.
And when you look ahead down the road, where would you like to see the festival be in 10 years?
Very secure. Well, you know, this is really kind of an exciting and pivotal moment for the Bach Festival. We are about to break ground on a new building dedicated to us. In these 46 past seasons, we've always been kind of a roving band of musicians over on the campus of the University of Oregon. And for the first time ever, we're going to have our own dedicated building that will not just house our offices, but it will also be a public atrium where we can hold engagement events, invite the public to kind of a central hub for festival activities. It will also have a wonderful, wonderful rehearsal hall that can double as a performance space in small scale that I think people are going to be really excited about. It's a way of getting close to the music. It will afford us opportunities to engage differently with the public. It also gives us, we're going to be next to the School of Music right there on 18th Street. So it's a very public face for us too. You know, now you know where the Bach Festival is and you'll be able to see us clearly on that very busy street. I think in other ways, where I would like to see us in 10 years, I think that there are new ways of programming the masterworks that we've only begun to talk about. You know, for example, with Matthew Hall's programming the Bach B minor using period instruments, I think that we can go even a step further with our masterworks and present them in such a way that forces the audience to engage with the music as opposed to just a passive experience. I'll give you an example from a project that I did in Philadelphia with Julia Wolf, who's one of the co-founders of Bang on a Can, which is a contemporary music collective in New York City. And this was when I was executive director of Mendelssohn Club of Philadelphia, which is one of the country's most historic choruses, in fact, about 180 singers, depending on what year it is. And Julie, we approached her about commissioning some kind of work and asked her what she would like to do. And she's from kind of the outer suburbs of Philadelphia. And she said, you know, I was always curious about the road that did not lead to Philadelphia. I wanted to know where that took me. And later in life, she learned that that road took her to coal mining country. And so Julie wanted to write an oratorio based on the coal mining region of Philadelphia, which is called Anthracite Fields. It was a clean burning coal. If coal can burn clean, that's the cleanest kind. And what we did with Julie's work was we took this massive chorus, we choreographed the chorus, we put the audience in the middle of this rotunda-like space, with spaces in between their chairs. The chorus was able to move through the audience. Also, as a part of that concert experience, the rotunda was darkened like a mine, and we found these amazing images with support from the Library of Congress of workers and children that were in those mines, you know, at that time, struggling for proper, you know, unionization of their work, safety guidelines. I mean, these folks were really broke their backs to fuel the Industrial Revolution, which built many of our eastern cities. So I use that as an example because we took an art form, we took a, you know, a secular oratorio of sorts, and we created almost like a choral opera. And people left that work understanding what the challenges were with coal mining. And we weren't taking an opinion either way, you know. But they certainly recognized that that region and all the waves of immigration from Europe, from Western Europe to Eastern Europe, you know, these people really suffered greatly to fuel a whole economic revolution for us. And so I think that we can do things like that. I think that we can put forth programs in a way where, whether it's with visuals or choreography or collaborations with other organizations here in Lane County or beyond, that we can create an environment that's an even richer experience for our audiences. And I think that goes to answer the question about relevance of classical music as well.
Well, welcome to town, and thank you so much for all the energy and vision that you bring.
Well, it's good to be here. And, you know, what I find exciting about Eugene is that I think Eugene is the perfect place to do something like this. You know, here you have a very vocal community, very civic-minded. Whether you agree or disagree, everybody knows where you stand. And I think that we have to look to the issues that are affecting us, and we can use the arts to help us with that dialogue as well.
Janelle McCoy, new executive director of the Oregon Bach Festival. The 2016 festival runs from June 23rd to July 10th, with tickets going on sale on April 1st. For more information, OregonBachFestival.com. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.